Today we are sitting down in Hurricane, it's not Hurricane, Hurricane, Utah, and I finally have Jessica from Painted Buffalo. Wow, I'm the like elusive. Blowing out around here. Hold on, let me turn that down just a little bit. Sorry if I just blew everybody's ears out.
Hurricane, so,
yeah. Oh, I say Hurricane too, except for like
everybody
three people yesterday
us.
Corrected
really?
Me and said, oh, it's really Hurricane.
Tell me to go fuck yourself.
I did.
Oh, yeah, you have two Marines on this episode, so watch out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I put the little E on the
it's
episode.
Gonna get
the
fancy.
E. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna. It's like. Hold on. Hold on just a second. Let me turn this down just a hair. There we go. There, now I'm not blowing everybody up. Okay, so I'm sitting down with Adam and Jessica, and they, are you both, you're both Marines, or
yeah.
both
yeah.
Veteran Marines. Okay, so part of this podcast, or the whole purpose of this podcast is just to be able to tell your story and tell, you know, any start, finish, wherever you want to tell the story. But I thought it might be cool having two people sit in together. Plus, we wrangled in Jessica to be able to do it. So I know I've sat down and had, like, some really good
yeah.
over dinner conversations
mm-hmm.
with you. I know nothing about what it's like to be a Marine. So don't expect me to be like,
neither
oh, so
Adam.
This is what
I'm
happened.
Just, yeah.
Like,
she's a girl.
Yeah.
She doesn't even.
Oh. Shots fired by the way.
Any
so,
Marine listening to this episode is just going to lose their mind. It's going to be so funny.
Nice.
We're going to say stuff, and you're just going to have, like, deer in the headlights. Like, what does that mean? But
yeah.
we're not going to tell you.
Okay. Well, that's fine. I'll just sit and listen in awe.
Like, if Adam calls me a Wookiee, don't be offended for me. It's
a
okay.
Wookiee?
That's a female Marine.
Oh, okay. I was like,
not
I'm
like
just going to be
Star
on, like,
Wars
inside.
Thing.
But
oh,
female
Marines
Star Wars,
look did your
like
wife tell
Wookiees.
You I had the Star Wars fireball?
No. Did my son
she was it? Just in here.
I'm surprised it's still here.
No, she, well, he wouldn't be able to reach it.
Oh.
But no, she was just in here. She saw the little fire. Oh, it's not called a Death Star, but it is a
it
Death Star.
Like
oh, I've
yeah.
seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
So you'll have to see it on
I
the way
the
out,
Marines.
But do okay. not take it. I will follow right. you. I will find you. I don't care if you're a Marine.
She
I did. Well, I didn't even win it. I like, oh. I did the giveaway, but then mm-hmm. they let me have one too.
Yeah,
and I was
right.
like, ooh, I'm going to have that. So anyway. Enough about Death Star. So, but you're a Star Wars fan now. You just became even cooler. But I heard you're like a Star Wars nerd.
My son is, yeah.
Yeah.
So I am by proxy.
Okay, yeah. But you know, like all
he
the
knows
characters
like all the
and
secondary
stuff.
And tertiary characters that like nobody else does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for his fifth birthday, we're gonna go down to Disney World, Florida.
Oh.
In July, it's gonna be hot as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's gonna be thriving. There's yeah. literally horses running by. Sorry.
Nice. Distracted.
Okay, it's
so
amazing.
Back to us. Back to you guys. So tell me kind of your story. Like, what got you into the Marines? What got you out of the Marines? What, like, what would you like to tell people about being a Marine?
It's really awesome. No, I'm just kidding. So my family is very military, like, heavy. My mom has 6 brothers and her, and they all served in the military. I chose the Marine Corps because 2 of my uncles were Marines and they had the coolest stories, so that's what I thought I was going to be doing. And then come to find out, women don't do those things. But he had awesome stories, and, you know, one was, you know, drafted in Vietnam and one joined right after Vietnam and, you know, those kinds of things. But that's how I grew up, was just patriotism and loving your country. And, you know, we come from a very, you know, low income family. We're not wealthy, no whatever. And, you know, my family was all farmers. So that's just kind of to get out of your town. What you did was join the military. So my mom, I grew up traveling all over the world.
She was Coast Guard, right?
She did 6 years in the Navy and 14 years in the Coast Guard.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, you know, I was born in Japan and then we moved to Hawaii. She got out and lived in Hawaii for a few years. We did. And then she joined the Coast Guard, so we started traveling around that way. You know, she's also a solo mom, and so I just lived that, you know, gypsy lifestyle my entire life. And so for me in high school, I was like, what am I going to do? I have hobbies, I have this, but I don't know what I want to do with my life or whatever. And so I just, I went a few credits, you know, through community college and realized, yep, nope, that's not for me, you know? And so my mom was actually stationed on the other side of the country. I was going to school in New York, and she was stationed in Seattle. And one day I just called her up. She knew, like, she knew that was my plan, you know, for a while. And I just called her up and was like, hey, just to let you know, I'm leaving on Saturday. I joined the Marine Corps, and lots of words happens, you know, but like, what was she going to do? You know, like, yeah, a lot of people come and like, my mom won't. I'm like, how old are you?
Yeah.
You're grown. Yeah. Go live your life. Choice. Like, this is your moment to show people, like, you know, there was plenty of people who were like, you sure you want to join the Marine Corps? Are you sure you want to do that? And I'm like, go big or go home. You know, personality. Also, if you tell me I can't do this, this, and this, like, yeah, I might yeah, fail, but yeah, my ass is trying. You know, yeah, what I mean? Like, that's just how it is. So I joined the Marine Corps at 20 years old and, you know, did, you know, my time as a combat cameraman and kind of wandered around and did that for a while.
Nice. Okay, Adam, what's your story?
So I grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's kind of the same situation. Like, we were well off. I'm an only child. I didn't have any siblings.
Same.
Nice.
For high-fiving. Sorry.
I
feel like that's a part of the Marine story, too, is just, like, that single child syndrome, yeah, and the, like, I'm the shit. I can do it. Yeah. Don't help me, whatever.
Well, the other
and
people
that's
the
literally,
army.
I mean, yes.
Yeah. So I wasn't like the best student or anything in high school. Like, yeah, I barely passed, thank you to summer school. And like, college was never really like a discussion in my household. Like, no dig on my parents. They didn't go to college. But like, it was never a thing. So like, I didn't apply to colleges. I didn't apply myself in high school. Like, obviously. And so I graduated barely on time. And then I got a job working at a catering restaurant. And I was just doing like deli stuff, making people food. And then a Marine came in one day, and there was just something about him, and I was like, that. And like, when I was younger, I'd always like run around the park at night with like, you know, the Nerf guns, and we'd be in like our dad's camo stuff. Like, my friend had a dad in the Air Force, and he had old camis and stuff. So we'd run around the bushes, pretend we're like fighting bad guys and stuff. And there was just something about this guy, and I was like, that. I got to talk to him, and he was a Marine. He's like, well, what do you want to do? And I was like, I don't know, I want to like fight people, I think. He's like, so infantry? Don't.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, why not? He's like, well, think about it. Like, it sounds cool, but like, when you get out, what are you going to do? You're going to go be a mall security guard?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right. So I ended up enlisting, and I joined the Air Wing. So I worked on V-22s, the helicopter that transitions to an airplane. I was a mechanic for a while. So I did 9 years, 5 doing that. And then I lat moved to Intel. You know, I did my school in the Marine Corps. I got my bachelor's and my master's paid for. I didn't have to pay for it.
Look at you, smarty.
Yeah.
Barely a high school dropout.
I know. Well, look what happens when you apply yourself.
Right? That's the thing is, there's, you know, a lot of terrible things that happen. Like, in the Marine Corps, a lot of Marines have a lot of issues and stuff. But when you focus on the benefits of things that people don't realize that you get from the military, even just, like, growing the fuck up and not being so selfish and thinking about your team or your guys or whatever. Like, there's so much where, like, you know, you're like, I can't, like me, like, I was like, I cannot go to college. Like, this is, I was also terrible at school. I barely passed high school as well. And then, you know, I'm getting college degrees and stuff. And you're like, it's because you grew the fuck up and you were able to concentrate and apply yourself. Yeah. And people don't realize, yes, the Marines is hard and it's this and that and whatever, but 90% of it is all mental. Yes, it's tough, it's physical and whatever, but that's like a quick fix.
Does it mental help because stuff, you have structure? Like, you have like a time?
Absolutely, especially as, you know, like whether you come from a broken family or a poor family or whatever, it gives you...
everybody. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. You're
all
you're
equal.
Rich, you're black,
you all get paid
white.
The same. You all wear the same uniform majority of the time. You all have the same haircut. You have, you know, like, you're no longer an individual. You either join the team or go home.
Or go
like
home.
That's that's it. And so it's either you come with the cool kids or you're sitting, you know, on the park bench by yourself. And yes, that has a lot of psychological stuff that happens or whatever. And
but the majority of the time, it's beneficial.
There's random things. Like, now people are like, why do you do that? I'm like, you know, and I'm like growing and learning and reflecting and doing mindfulness and mental health recovery and all that stuff. And I'm like, yeah, why do I do that? And 90% of the time, the answer is because that's how you did it in the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
And it's beneficial now. Like people, you know, like a lot of people yesterday at the show or at any festival, they're like, oh, did you, you know, Marie Kondo, blah, 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 whatever, because all my shirts are all lined up properly and blah, blah. And I'm like, no, I was the Marine Corps. Like, you know, like, that's just how you fold your clothes, or that's how, you know.
I was cutting little threads off of our curtains. My wife was like, what are you doing? I was like, I can't leave them.
Yeah, that's just, like, not, little single threads. And that's the thing, is people are like, what are you doing? You know, it's just random stuff like that, that you just, and attention to detail, where I'm kind of aloof. I'm just like, party, you know, whatever. But there's certain things I'm very, like, I'm not OCD, and I know that. But there's certain things I just physically cannot leave. I have to fix it, or I have to do this, or, you know, like, it's, and all of those things are slowly over time. And the more you're in the military, the more. But all of that stuff happens the first 13 weeks of training. You're stripped of literally everything you possibly know. And like we were saying, like, every person in boot camp has a different story, but you are all exactly the same. Yeah. Nobody gives a shit that mommy and daddy are this, this, and this. Nobody gives a shit that, you know, you had a rough life and your parents died and your, you know, whatever, house caught fire. Nobody cares about that stuff. You work your ass off or you don't, and that's your...
And then you're not going to make it.
Yeah, so. that's the... It levels everybody, and then you all grow together.
Yeah.
And it's that team and pack mentality that, you know, a lot of people... But that's the thing, is that's lifelong as well. Like, when I, you know, Adam, you know, we were talking on Instagram, whatever, and then... And one day I was like, wait a second, you're a Marine?
She didn't believe me at first.
Instantly, it's like, we're best buds. Like, okay, like, there's, all
right. There's some common ground.
Well, he said something, and I was like, kind of, not triggering, but I'm like, wait a second. And he's like, yeah, and my wife's a veteran. I'm like, no, what? Yeah. Like, and then you're instantly lifelong friends. And then, like, you know, like, we had met one time, and then I break down, and his ass is coming in with jugs and jugs of coolant because I'm, you know, need help. Like, that's just
it was you that came. Okay,
yeah, it was Adam.
I didn't put him two
and
two Jet together,
came and saved the day. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the thing. That's the best part of it, is I didn't need to know anything about him, but I knew he was a Marine, and whatever you need, and vice versa. Like, whatever you need, the end. Like, that's it.
Yesterday, you know, our Easy Up picked up off of her desk, or over her desk, and flew into, like, a crowd of people. And then I'm, like, over there, like, getting it down. And then later on in the afternoon, I was, like, trying to put it up, and I was struggling because it was, like, inside out. And then some girls show up. Guess what? Fucking Marines.
Yeah. Like, literally.
She's like, do you need help? I was like, I saw the little black wristband. I was like... You're a Marine.
Yeah, like...
And then we were working through
and she and I were talking. I'm like, Adam, she's a Marine! And everyone's like staring at me. I'm like, sorry, I get so fucking hyped that, like, especially women, you know what I mean? Yeah. And there's just a way that Marines carry themselves, I mean, you know, carry themselves and just are, and the way they, like, that strut, like that guy coming into your restaurant. Yeah. It's just...
You can just tell something.
This bravado, or, you know, it's like, my shit don't stink. Yes, that's what Marines have, but it's just something... that people ooze once you're, like, in it. You know what I mean?
It's, like, ingrained in you in boot camp, and then you, like, bloom.
Blossom,
and then it's, like, your pollen. You're just, like, spreading it.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is people are like, man, I want... You know, like you, you're like, how the hell do you just, like, pull down a tool, and then all of a sudden you have a gaping hole in the side of your bus, and, like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know, I'll figure it out. You know what I mean? It's just, you have that confidence that you... If... shit hits the fan, I've gone through all kinds of crazy stuff. This is minuscule. It might not seem like it, but to me, and the things that we've gone through, it's like, it's fine. If this hole doesn't work out, nobody fucking died. My house still drives. Like, everything's whatever. It might look a little funky, but oh well. You know what I mean? And it's kind of like, you just... And it's also, like, because you grow up poor, because you grow up, you know, like, adapt and overcome, like, in the Marine Corps, like, all of these things. It's like, if I want it, I gotta figure out how to get it. So I want a cool toolbox. I can't afford the job box that everybody has that's $1,000. So I buy $50 wall lockers on, you know, on Facebook Marketplace and turn make them sideways work. And you put them under work. My bus, you know, yeah. Like I sometimes I forget that that's not common. You know what I mean? Like
you figure it out.
Yeah. And then you like meet people and you're like, oh, like, you know, my thing is like these like damsel in distress, you know, like I always joke, like I'm not a damsel in distress.
Or when you're feeling you're cool and somebody's like, do you need help? And you're like, listen, motherfucker. Who do you think drives
and
this
And then
thing?
He was wearing a Marine Corps mask, and I was like, hey, Semper Fi. And then instantly he, like, knew, like, yeah. All right, have a great day. Yeah. Like, that was it. That's all you needed, you know. That's all. But it's just like, listen, I have a tough time asking for help. Even right. When I will be, and it's that bullheadedness, you know, Taurus or Marine or whatever
like
the thing
alpha
is.
Mentality.
Yeah. And that's, you know, like learning and growing.
There's you have that hard thing, too.
Sometimes, yeah.
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 And I think that's a part of it, too. The male-female dynamic in the Marine Corps story is different. You know, I can say things and he could not relate, where he could say things and I'm like, you know, on a Mew or Air Wing, I'm like, yeah. That's not my world. I don't know.
I don't know what the hell you just said.
Like I said.
It sounded like you just said some...
she's speaking French.
Jargon. That's what we're doing.
On a Mew.
Jargon.
Yeah.
So a Mew is a Marine Expeditionary Unit. That's the ships that Marines all go on and travel and do cruises.
Okay.
And he asked, like, oh, were you on a ship? And I was like, oh, no, I didn't do that or whatever. Where the Air Wing is all the pilot stuff, you know, all the stuff. And I'm like, nope, I was in some sand and some jungles. And, you know, like, that was my... world. And that's the thing, Marines are Marines, we're all the same, but depending on what's happening in the world depends on where you're going, depends on right, yeah. It depends, you know, like I spent majority of my time in Asia and Australia and United States and doing that kind of stuff, where, you know, other Marines
did you deploy
other Marines, you know, spent time in the desert and or on boats or on, you know, like in aircrafts and stuff. So although we're all Marines, we all have individual jobs, you know, or, you know, depending on which base you are at, that's a different mission. So, like, yeah, I was in Hawaii for, you know, 3 years, so all of my time was spent overseas. And then I went to OCS at Quantico and did that whole thing. And then I went to the Pentagon, you know. So each, those three billets are very, very different. And you have to be able to adapt
the environment to different things. Every base, every unit.
Every leadership style, every individual six-man team, like everything. Yeah. You have to relearn. Yeah, Semper Gumby is
Semper Gumby, the little green guy?
Yeah.
That was like a saying in the Marine
Corps.
Okay,
I get that one.
Yeah.
You always change.
There's a lot of Marine Corps mottos.
Yeah.
So all the branches of service have a Latin, like, thing. So Marine Corps is Semper Fidelis. So you'll hear Marines like, hey, Semper Fi. You know, like, that's... Yep. Like, that's the only thing, like, we're allowed to say. It's the same as, like, a Jeep Wave or whatever. Like,
Motorcycles,
whatever. Yeah. Everybody. So if someone says Semper Fi, that's like, hey, you know.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Like, there was a guy the other day in this outpost, and he was full-on leather. Marine, everything. Motorcycle, I was like, hey, Jeremy, you think that guy was in the Marine Corps? You know, like, I just made a joke. And we're talking, you know, walking around this store and everything, and I said, hey, sir, Semper Fi. And he turned around and looked at me, and he said, Semper Fi, sister. And he just kept walking. Like, that was the instant bond. You know what I mean? That's all you need.
Like, stories. Like, when you're going through, like, Home Depot or Lowe's. Every time I go in a hardware store, there's a Marine somewhere in one of those aisles with a hat. And, like, a Vietnam logo or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, you're a
badass. My thing trips me out, like, the longer ago the war, the, like, I really want to talk to guy.
Yeah,
like he
same.
Did
yeah.
Like there was this one guy at Home Depot when I was building the bus that had like World War II, and I was like, I need to shake that man's hand. Like he was old.
Is it like, well, do people still wear hats and stuff like that?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
The older generation does. Like, you'll see the Vietnam and the World War II. But what about, like, now? When they're,
I mean,
like, what would you wear? Or, like, do people do it?
It's weird in the community, too.
They'll put, like, their ribbons on their truck or something like that. And that's, I don't know. That's
and it's a personal, that's a thing. Like, you know, like, someone walked into my bus yesterday and was like, you're a Marine, you know, like, because I have my shadow box and I have a flag up and, like, my covers hanging up over my seat, you know, random. Yeah. But some people, and it's all a personal thing. Some people shove it down your throat.
But I just wonder if we'll ever lose that, because I do, I always like those, the little older veterans that have, like, the little
and it's also, I mean, it's, it also with the war stuff, you know, like, a lot of us, like, when people say thank you for your service, everybody has their own interpretation or response.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I just say, my pleasure, thanks for your support. You know, like, but that happened after Vietnam. Like, there's a history of where these terms come.
Mm-hmm.
Those poor people, you know, like, coming back and getting,
first of
you know,
all, they went.
Spat
they had
on.
To go.
They had
they
to go.
They were drafted. They didn't,
They're,
like, raise their hand
make
and say,
the
I want
choice,
go.
Whatever.
But they went and made it happen. Come home and people are like spitting
shat on them,
right.
You know what I mean,
like, that's incredible.
And so the thank you for your service is, that's literally where it came from, is we will never treat our veterans, that there's a whole opinion on how that actually is happening, but it's a thing where people like feel good saying thank you for your service. But to me, it's like, what are you actually doing to thank these people? You know, like, I'm fine. I live in my bus. I'm in my own little world. I've got my shit, but, like, I'm fine. But driving around the country, you'll see, you know, veterans standing on corners and stuff. And I'm like, all these people just said thank you for your service, but what are they at? Or all these highways are named after, you know, thanks to the fallen veterans of whatever county. I'm like, yeah, but are you actually taking care of your veterans? Or are you, you know, and there's stuff with the VA and, you know, these all these issues. But to me, I can't fix all that. I can only fix my little bubble. And when I see a dude, you know, because I literally have my whole freaking house. And I'm raising kids. I want them to continue to serve.
Spread that kindness.
Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of times where I've invited homeless people or, you know, whatever into the bus. And I'm cooking Liam lunch. And I'm like, hey, man, you hungry? Like, come on, man. I'm cooking my kid lunch. Let's have it. And you can see it on Liam's face. Like, ooh. You know, whether the guy smells or the, you know, like.
Yeah.
And when he leaves and I'm like, Liam, I know he smells. I know this is, but guess what? That guy was just like me. Or just like your dad, because my ex-husband's a Marine. Sometimes you just need someone to be kind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's ultimately what we're, you know, trying to spread. And if the town or the city or the state or the government isn't going to take care of, that's like, everybody's like, well, all veterans are starting nonprofits. It's because we needed something and we weren't able to find it.
Mm-hmm.
So what worked for me, I built it and I'm trying to give it out. You know what I mean? And that's why all these veterans are starting these nonprofits, is because whatever worked for them, they knew they couldn't find it out there, so they made it and are trying to, you know, continue to serve. You know what I mean? So it's just a lot of moving parts. What's going to fix it? Who the hell knows? But he can only help his little, you know, bubble. I'll help. And eventually all these bubbles will start, you know, attaching to each other.
I think it's getting better, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, social media, people are seeing some of these issues and being able to spread your platform for your vets and, like, different groups and entities. So it's getting better.
And collaborating.
Collaboration.
And,
so it's getting better, for sure. But, you know, people are still committing suicide every day because they can't get help over the phone.
Right.
They don't have other vets to turn to, maybe. Maybe they don't have family anymore because they're, you know, distanced or whatever the case is. Marines are lighting themselves on fire in the VA parking lots.
That's literally
happening.
Can't
get help.
Mm-hmm.
And that's,
you know, like monks, you know how they like would light themselves on fire?
Yeah.
Like, people are doing that in VA parking lots.
Yeah.
Like, I need help. Here is me seeking help and you're not helping me. Please. Like, they're, you know, like, I had someone say, they're, you know, from a different country, but like, well, like, there's help out there. Why don't they just get help? I'm like, I completely understand if that was like a sober, somber person thinking rationally. But when you're in it, you're not thinking rationally. And 90% of those people probably have mental health issues mm-hmm. that need assistance, may need, you know, counseling or whatever, medication if that's for them, or all of these things. And they're, when you're in it and in the hole, there's no, like, pulling yourself out. So they're in it. They can't pull themselves. They need help. And they're not going to, yeah, they're going to say, no, I like this, you know, under the bridge spot. This is my spot. This is, but it comes from all of the training and all of the stuff that it's just like, you adapt to whatever environment you're in. And people need help, but nobody's willing to, like,
and some of that
do the hard work.
Yeah, some of that stems from the military, though. It's like mm-hmm. a double-edged dagger, because, like, in the military, there's a stigma on if you're hurt.
Mental health
and
malingering.
Mental health, if you mm-hmm. need help, like, you're gonna get crap for it. If you're the person in your unit who gets injured, and you're like, I gotta go to medical, get this checked out, it really hurts. People are like, yeah, okay, I'm sure it does. Here's some, you know, some socks
and ibuprofen. And water.
You know, sit down. You can do it. You can tough it out. And that's the mentality that we need to break. Because sometimes everybody just needs a hand. And people need
also,
to be comfortable.
Also, people break. It's not an easy,
yeah,
like,
on body.
Your body thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, and it's not like, you know, say Olympians or athletes. Like, they're not training us like athletes. Although we are. Marines are, you know, athletic and whatever. And everybody has their way of doing it. They're not treating you like you're an athlete. You're
yeah.
just a body. So when you break, they literally can pick up a new person and plop you in the place, and you're all trained like robots. You know what I mean? Like, boom, oh, we have a new guy. You can't hack it. Here's the new guy that can take your spot. And it's just this, you know, factory.
But then vets get out, and if they have these mental health issues or physical health issues,
they're in it. Like,
they struggle asking for help because for the last, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, whatever, how long they served, it was like shunned on to ask for help. To reach out for, it's like, hey, my head's not right, I need help. So that, like, they get out, and, like, that's the norm. They don't want to ask for help because it's a sign of weakness,
mm-hmm.
you know, according to some. So
that's the thing, is like, when you're so, it's not, it's brainwashed, but it's not, like, meaning bad. But you're ingrained this way to survive. And then when you get, like, you get trained so much to get into the Marine Corps, but there's no training to, like,
get out.
Go into civilian
was
life.
Was it 3 weeks getting out of TRS?
I think it was a week. It was seven days of, like, how to write a resume.
13 weeks to get in, like a week and a half to get out, or three weeks or something.
But also, it also depends on how long you served, where you served, what shit you were through, you know, like, all of this stuff. And individual people, like, he and I may have gone through a same experience, but how I function after that is going to be completely different than how he functions. And it's an individual treatment. It's not like, you know, everybody's, to me, every veteran, I don't care if you were working a desk job or you were getting your body parts blown up, all of us have PTSD for some reason or another. You know, whatever the trauma or the psychological manipulation or the what, you know, like, all of that stuff. And, you know, people will be like, yeah, but you didn't do anything. I'm like, I did some shit, and some shit was done to me, and that fucks you up. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to treat all of it as, like, well, you did that, so you're tougher. And that's a very Marine thing. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, but you didn't deploy? Fuck you. Like, move along. You know, and you'll see it in nonprofit stuff, like, combat veteran only, or, you know, this, you know, like, or only recon, or only air wing, or, you know, all these foundations set up, and that's how you're continuing the separation of
segregation of it all.
Segregation, because we're already segregating ourselves and judging, and then a lot of it, you know, like, it means well, a lot of civilians starting stuff, but they really don't know how to they're being kind and have the money and the funding and the marketing and whatever, but, like, what are you really, like, doing to help? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or, like, if he's saying stuff, I might be like, hey, dude, you okay? But you might be listening to me, oh, he sounds fine. And to me, I'm like, no, yeah. Like, hey, like, let's go have a chat. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. there's, you have to be in it to be able to pick up on these things. Because Marines can bullshit their way out of everything, including getting help or going to the doctor and saying, I mean, that's how I got an opiate addiction. I was sick. I needed the drugs. I had a lot of surgeries and a lot of pain management, you know, stuff. And I was just, and I needed more. So what did my ass do? I went to the VA and said, this is hurting. This is whatever. And here's some more drugs. Like, no matter what the thing is, you get, I mean, talking your way out of traffic tickets or what, you know, like that's, that's right. That's just the thing you acquire, you know, the, you can't bullshit a bullshitter. You know what I mean?
Real knows real.
Right. And so when someone's saying something and, you know, like I have the same thing with Johnny from the Beehive family, he'll send me a message and be like, yo, you all right? I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm kind of whatever. And he's like, I know, I could just feel it. I'm like, I'm writing all these happy pictures, traveling, posts, whatever. And he's like, nope, like, let's talk. You know what I mean? Because he's a Marine too. You know, like, it's just this thing. And sometimes you don't even have to talk about it. Like, I could, like I said, I didn't know.
You can hang out for a bit and, like, it's something that I know that she identifies with.
Mm-hmm. And, you don't have to explain it. That's the thing. I don't think he and I have ever talked about. You know, like, I know he was in the air wing. He knows I was combat camera, blah, blah. But we never, like, talked about our stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, I got it. Like, that's the...
I know some of the stuff she went through. She knows some of the stuff I went through. Like, the ranks and just PT, everything.
Yeah. So. Just the, like, stuff. And that's the same as, like, you know, doing the art stuff. People are like, you're just giving out these expensive art boxes with supplies and blah, blah, to, like, random people. How do you know? I'm like, I just have a five-minute conversation, and you just, you know, the dude is not bluffing. Yeah. Also, it's like, you know, I don't know. It's like just this, like, vibe you get. You know what I mean? Like, you just get it. And also, like, with the art therapy, you know, the stuff I'm getting into and teaching classes and all that, like, they're like, yeah, but what did that guy do? And I just say, I don't fucking know. Like, I don't know what he did in the Marine Corps. And you're like, yeah, but, like, how did you help him? I'm like, we're like, we just have a, like, how we having breakfast or lunch or, you know, like, just making art. I'm just talking. You know, we're just having a conversation. There's no, like, therapy in it. But there's therapy in it,
right?
And the, you know the what relationship I mean? Sometimes is that therapy because that veteran underneath the bridge,
you know, you they know always got your back.
They know that they can like trust this person. Mm-hmm. Last night they were up on the roof deck of their bus. Mm-hmm. She's like, "Oh, do you want to hand me the baby?" I was like, "Yeah, no, without a doubt." Like,
I'm like, some I'm people not
might,
up there.
Some people might be like, "I'm not gonna hand you my baby. I've met you five times, and you're up on a bus."
Right.
Like,
and then there's people like, that's not my baby. I'm not carrying that baby. Yeah. I'm going to drop that baby. You know, I'm like, yeah, come on, let's go. Yeah. You know, like when you're, that's like me. Like I come as a package. Like it's me and Liam. You know what I mean? And it's him and his kids and his wife. You know, like that's the, you know, and I have this bond with Adam because we're Marines, but Chelsea is now my family. Parker is now my family. Jet is now my family. And whatever they need. You know, because there's some things, like, Adam might not want to tell Chelsea or he's feeling whatever, where as a woman, I could be like, yo, Chelsea, like, this is this and blah, 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 whatever. And, you know, she's a veteran, but she was in the Air Force and she's a woman and it's different than the Marine. You know, like, all of these things. Like, there's plenty of times, like, I've had spouses be like, so he's saying this, this, and this. What the fuck does that mean? I'm like, and I can be like, oh, yeah, yeah. So he's doing this and blah, and he's, you know, where was he? Oh, yeah, so... He's not going to tell you, but he's probably, like, really fucked up right now. You know what I mean? And you can have this, like, you know, and people want their person to be able to talk to them, but that's sometimes not a thing. You know, like, that's there's certain things, like, you just can't talk about. You know what I mean? Or you have to get through it. And, like, I talk about stuff, you know, openly on Instagram, like, about my drug abuse and alcoholism or, you know, sexual assault in the military with women and how all that. And people are like, how are you so open? I'm like, because I worked on it. And now it's just, like,
it's helping you
a
grow.
Story to tell. But also, when I was going through that, nobody was saying, like, oh, that happened to me or that, blah, blah. Or, like, you see these, you know... people on base that are there supposed to like help you write a report and stuff, but they don't fucking do shit. I mean, it's a lot different now than when I was in, but you know, now I, like, worked through it. So now it's, like, I want to be that person. Like, hey, I know completely what, oh, yeah, they're gaslighting you. They're telling you this. You're the, you know, like, I got it. Like, I'll help you, whatever you. But now it's starting to become public, like Vanessa being murdered, you know, at Bragg or, you know, like all of these things. And people want to pinpoint, like, what did she do? What did this, blah, blah. Or she's saying the leadership did this, this, and this. And it, I mean, it happens. Even my own family, like my mom's a veteran. And, you know, when I was in, sometimes I'd be like, Mom, I need, because my mom was, you know, a Master Chief. So she got all the way to the top in the Coast Guard and retired. So she's a leader. She's a woman, blah, blah. And I would say, like, Mom, you know, my mom and I don't have too close of a relationship. But I'd be like, Mom, you know, like, this is happening, blah, blah. And she would say, yeah, no, that doesn't happen. I'm like, I understand in the black and white print, this is what's supposed to happen, but that's not happening. Is happening, and I'd have to, like, I'd get so angry. I'm like, I'm not fucking lying. You know, like, there's something going on, something wrong. And because of how the Navy and Coast Guard runs, or how, you know, people just are like, nah, that doesn't happen, even though they're like, they know it happens.
Right.
That's like, you know, people, what I mean? In racism. Like, if they don't see it, they're like, that.
It didn't happen to me. Like, or, like, I can say stuff, you know, to Adam, like, well, yeah, this Master Guns did this and this, and, you know, I moved bases because this literally happened. I moved bases because of this Master Guns, and he did this and this and was trying to set me up on unaccompanied orders to Bahrain, and he couldn't. But, like, those things under the carpet happen. But unless you actually experience that, it's like,
people don't believe.
Are you sure? Like, yeah. You know, and yeah. It's not negative or not ill intent, but it's like, you sure that, like, actually, I'm like, yeah, that fucking happened. That happens. And I'm not alone in those things happening. You know what I mean?
In my last unit.
But nobody wants to talk about it, so nobody realizes how common those things are.
Yeah. An example, in my last unit, there was a sergeant, an E5, who got a DUI. Busted, like, hardcore. He got knocked down to corporal. They took his car, driving privileges away on base. Mm-hmm. He was messed up for a while, like half pay. And then a couple months later, there was a staff sergeant, one rank above. And that's kind of like the, you know, the separating, the E5 and below and E6 and above. It's like, there's a gap
there. Leadership and, you know.
And grunts, yeah. And got swept under the rug. Yeah. The staff sergeant who that happened to didn't even get in trouble. It got swept under the rug.
I mean, that's like, you know, like, Jeremy, he was in the Army, and he was out doing stuff, and half of them got kicked down, and half of them didn't. It's just
where
you are on the line, you know what I mean? Like, that stuff, you know, happens. Or it's not what you know, it's who you know. I mean, that is the biggest thing as well. You know, listen, I've used that, you know, in my career, or going to certain countries that I probably shouldn't have gone, or, you know, like, hey, man, I'll make you coffee and print your PowerPoints and do whatever. Can I come? And because they knew me or liked me or whatever that was, I got to go to some pretty awesome places. But then there's other parts. It's like, you know, oh, I heard about you, or I did, you know, like, and they don't, you know, because I was a young Lance Corporal. I got pregnant in the barracks with my ex, and, you know, I had my baby, and I lived my life and did that, and that comes with a lot of repercussions in, you know, the male dominating. You know, I lived in the barracks, and I was in a grunt unit, and that's, you know, there's only
there's a stigma.
There's, like, you know,
it doesn't matter who you are or what kind of person you are, if you're a female in the barracks, there's already a stigma on you.
Yeah. So it's, you know, and so I, you know, that's how I started my career. Yes, like, I probably should have been focusing on my career, but, like, whatever the thing is. But also, you know, like, a few people have been like, oh, you know, like, wait, you didn't do this or that. Or I'm like, you know, like, her dad, you know, in the beginning was like, not for me. And he got to be able to say, yep, not for me. You know what I mean? And he got to go deploy and do the thing and whatever. And he didn't even want to do that. I wanted to do that. But it was a lot of like, no, you just stay home and be mom. I'm like, I have my family care plan set up. I have all these, you know, things. And he's like, you know, like we would sit down with the comptroller and be like, okay, our next base, you know, I got to go here, got to go here. I want to do this. I'm getting out. Like, don't deploy me. Don't send me here, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm staying in for 20. I'm doing this, this, and this. And they sent him to Lejeune, and he got deployed, and I went to base Quantico. But we both sat down and said, we have our shit together. We are co-parenting. We're doing this thing, like, whatever. Skylar's taken care of. But it doesn't, that stuff doesn't matter. It's always like, you know, whatever the Marine Corps needs, mission, the Marine Corps gets, you know what I mean?
Before the Marines needs.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like people would be like, oh, how did you get stationed with your husband or what? I'm like, that shit doesn't happen very often. Like, that's not a normal, like you and your spouse are at the same base. Like, that's not a normal thing. Or like, you know, I got married, I got orders. And I'm like, well, I'm going to Quantico. Like, we get hitched and you come or you stay here. So we got hitched and we both got to Quantico. You know what I mean? Like,
Were you and your wife married while you were in as well?
Yeah. 2015. Yeah. So I knew her before the Marine Corps in Albuquerque. Mm. We were both working at the same restaurant. Just young kids, you know, being stupid. And then we kind of dated a little bit. And then we went our separate paths. She went the Air Force. I went to the Marine Corps. I got married. I had a daughter. She's in North Carolina now. And then we got divorced. I came back to New Mexico on leave. And it was like, you know, these two
stars aligned. Yeah.
Met. And it was where I was supposed to be, when it was supposed to be. So, yeah. And she moved out to North Carolina with me. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So would you guys all do it again? Like, would
absolutely.
You yeah.
join the military?
Yeah.
That's what I'm working on in my art, like, practice on my own stuff, is, like, this. I always try to tell people, and they kind of, like, look at me strange, but, like, comparing the Marine Corps with Stockholm Syndrome. Mm-hmm. It's, like, no matter how terrible or how great your time was, there is nothing that can take away I'm a Marine. Like, you see it with, you know, say Chelsea, like, she's like, yeah, I was in the Air Force, or what, where, like, Marines are like, I am a Marine. I worked my fucking tail off. You can never strip that away from me. And not a lot of people get to say I'm a Marine or whatever. So there's no ex-Marine. There's no former Marine. Mm-hmm. There's no, like, anything like that. And no matter how terrible of a time sometimes I had, I have gained so much goodness that... You know, I get moms all the time, my daughter wants to do this, or do you recommend? And I just say, she's got to do it. She's got to experience. Yes, some things might terribly happen.
But that's life.
But that's, I mean, your daughter's going to have those same scenarios and those same scary, like, life choices, or, like, should I do this or this, or take this path or go here or whatever? Anywhere. You know what I mean? It's she's gaining the ability to defend herself, gaining the ability to speak up or have the confidence to be like, this happened to me, or, hey, you don't get to talk to me like that. Or, I mean, you know how many times I've been in bars and, you know, some guys like hitting on me or whatever. And like my buddies are around, but they're not like coming in to defend me. You know what I mean? Like that damsel in distress thing. They're like, oh, fuck, watch this show. Like, this is about to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but you know, if shit hit the fan, my guys got me. Or what, you know, it's, you know, when I say guys, I just mean people in general, you know, like, whatever. Like, that's how you know, Marines roll thick and deep. Like, that's just, like, and no matter where I am, that's going to happen. And same as that follows you no matter if you're in or out, or whether or not, you know, not as mean, not as lean, still a Marine kind of mentality, you know, kind of thing. That's just going to, that sticks with you forever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
All right. So any kind of final thoughts, final wrap ups that you'd like, any points you didn't get to hit, want to pump what you're doing?
Questions
or where they can find you? I don't have any questions. I'm just here to listen.
No?
No, I almost went in the Marine Corps like twice. Uh-huh. And then almost into the Army once.
I get that a lot. And then I say, huh, but you didn't.
But I didn't. I know.
I was waiting for it.
I know.
And so I get that so much more with men.
Yeah.
I was gonna, but I the, and I'm like, but you didn't.
Yeah.
Like, there's no... They're trying... Like, I get it. They're trying to relate and say, like, I was on the same path, or I, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. We're one in the same. But unfortunately, we're not one in the same. Yeah. Like, that's just...
I will just say it was one of the... I don't regret a lot in life, but it was one of those, like, yeah. Oh, man, I think that would have been a cool experience, or at least, like, a experience to have, like, a... I don't know. Like, there's just, I don't think there's another job that is more respectable than choosing to be in the military.
And I think that's what I think the biggest thing is like, this is voluntary. Mm-hmm. It's not for everyone. If it was for everyone, it would be.
It wouldn't be what it is.
It mm-hmm. wouldn't be what it is, especially with the Marine Corps, the few, the proud. Like, that's the thing. You know what I mean? Female Marines, it's the fewer, the prouder.
It was like one of my favorite commercials as a kid. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when they were playing chess on the chessboard?
With the dragon.
And they're like,
the dragons?
And they're
lava
like,
monsters.
Mine's the Toys for Tots commercial where the guy says, my dad said, you're Santa Claus. If you are, can you? And then the hand open. Oh my God, I get tears every time.
Mine was the rock climbing one where he climbed to the top.
Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody has that, like, You know, and I still get that, like, swell of a heart when I'm driving down the highway and there's a billboard and there's a Marines. And I'm just, one, it's because I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that photo. You know, because that was my job or whatever. And that's what I did, you know, making marketing and all that kind of stuff. But also it's like, oh, yeah. And that's also, like, a reminder. No matter where I am, I know there's Marines out there. And so I'm safe. I'm, you know, if shit hits the fan or wherever I am around the world, I mean, pick a country, I'd be like, I think I know a person there. You know what I mean? That's just how, you know, when I went out to Japan a couple years ago for a study abroad, I met up with some guys I, you know, was stationed at whatever, or, you know, driving around the country in San Diego, one of my friends from the Pentagon, and just like all of these random people I know, you know, no matter where you go, there's somebody you know, and that's kind of, you know, like a safe feeling, you know what I mean? And people always have your back. And that's ultimately, you know, you're gonna go through shit, and you're going to suffer, and you're that's everybody. But being able to come out of it and be like, you know, okay, now it's time to, you know, reflect and work hard and whatever, then you
and I wouldn't change it for anything. I wouldn't trade anything for it. You know, it was rough 13 weeks, but I mean, you make friends, you learn. I wouldn't be the person I am today if I didn't join the Marine Corps.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it might have been the same in the Army, I don't know, but I wouldn't have done it. Mm-hmm. Like, before I joined the Marine Corps, I was like barely surviving. I was taking home food from the restaurant to eat. Mm-hmm. I could barely pay my bills, you know. I wasn't, you know, the best person. I wasn't super kind. But then I came out and, you know, I have a work ethic now. Part of that was my dad. Part of that was the Marine Corps. And, like, if I pride myself on anything, it's working hard and getting whatever it is done that needs done or helping somebody.
And, so like, all of that is instilled into, like, you know, I get comments about Liam's not angelic. But that you tell that kid to do something and you got it. He's done. You know, like, he hung out with Wabi Sabi for the last, you know, couple of days. And she's like, I asked everybody to clean up and... Man, that kid can clean. I'm like, yeah, his ass can. Every Thursday, you know, field day it up. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain things you don't realize are not common until somebody says, like, you know, your kid does this, this. I'm like, and I always say, yeah, you damn right he better. You know, like, because that's just what I expect. But also, when you expect things of children, they will always meet you there. You know what I mean? You have to give them some credit. They're smart. Kids are smart. And I learned so much from Liam just watching him, you know, live his little life. You know, and that's, you know, a lot of people always ask about, like, parenting and stuff. And it's like, I've already parented him. He's 10. You know, like, he's who he's gonna be. Mm-hmm. Now I'm just mentoring him and guiding him
putting in. Putting up those bumper rails on the bowling lane. Don't go over there.
But also letting him, you know, like, I let him do a lot of stuff. Some parents are, you know, like, say Shane and Emily, you know, they're always wherever Sawyer is, you know, they're, you know, and I, you know, anything I say about people, I've already told them, you know, I'm like, Shane, you need to like, let that kid get a scraped knee or something. You know what I mean? Just like, let him do, or let him cry, you know, even just let him, he will self-soothe. He will learn how to do those things, but you have to let your kids, you know, do that.
Oh, we're getting knocked at. Okay.
All right. It's Shane. I was just talking about you.
Hold on. We'll bring him into the
end. Oh, my gosh. All right. We're going to talk parenting. Canadian Shane versus no. Two Marines.
We're on a podcast. Would you like to come say bye to your friends?
I know that I'm, like, interrupting something, but...
I literally was just saying how you need to let Sawyer scrape his knee a little and cry a little bit more.
Really?
Yeah, I literally was just saying that.
That's hilarious.
Are you leaving?
Bye, guys.
I love you.
Bye. What a way to end a podcast episode with hugs from Shane from Arbor Season.